What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 12 of the Reverent Babble Podcast, the international sensation, the Reverent Babble Podcast. I'm Neil Huntley, and if you haven't noticed so far, I'm by myself. My buddy, my amigo, my co-host, the founder of the Reverent Babble Podcast, Cody Kelly, has decided to opt out of this week's episode. He's opted out by going on vacation this week. Cody didn't quit. Cody is on vacation with his family down at the beach. Cody, when you hear this, as you're editing this, and before you post this, man, just want to tell you, hope y'all having an awesome week. Hope you had an awesome week. Hope y'all stayed safe during the hurricane that rolled through the other night. And yeah, but we still got a show to do. I'm gonna do my inner Kyle Bailey on WFNZ. He does his show mostly by himself, so I'm going to see what I got, see what happens with it. We got a great show lined up for you today. I'm going to go over the NFL Top 100 list. Going to go over some baseball news, mainly some Braves and Red Sox like we normally do. Go over some NASCAR and go over a lot of other things. Nothing's new really with me this week other than we're planning for a big weekend coming up at the church. Y'all pray for me. We have a lock-in with the youth. I say that jokingly, but I say that, you know, pray for our safety, of course. But we're going to have a good time, have some movies playing, bring out the basketball goal inside the FLC. We're going to have a good time, have some good food and some good fellowship. Good old Baptist saying, good food and good fellowship. But enough of that. I don't have a long intro, guys, just because it's just me talking here. But let's get on to the Double Play Devo. We're going to be talking about peace. So let's take a quick little break while I gather my thoughts, get the scripture together, and then we'll get started. Hey everybody, welcome back from the break. As I said, this is the portion of the show known as the Double Play Devo. I love talking about sports. Cody loves talking about sports. But I love talking about Jesus even more. Cody does too. But to me, like I said, I'm riding the Devo solo today. And when thinking about what I wanted to talk about today with y'all, the one word that kept coming across my mind was peace. 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 And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about peace. And like I do with a lot of my lessons at church, I like to get out the good old Merriam-Webster dictionary. Well, I don't get out an actual dictionary anymore since they have a website now. I don't even own an actual dictionary like we used to back in the good old days of like 15, 20 years ago. But according to Merriam-Webster, peace is defined as a state of tranquility or quiet. Tranquility, that's a fun word to say. So what is peace to you? Peace to me is just a clear mind. Peace to me is being able to just take a deep breath and just enjoy what is around me. What does peace mean in the world that we live in now? What does peace mean in the eyes of God? What does peace mean in our walks as believers and followers of Christ? Well, if you don't know, it's a good thing to do is to turn into Scripture and see what God has to say about peace. One verse of Scripture that really stuck out to me as I was planning this is in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. It says, "I have said these things to you." Now, y'all, this is Jesus talking, okay? It says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There's really no more further explanation than that, y'all. In Christ, we have peace. If you haven't noticed, 2020 has been absolutely insane, right? It's been crazy. I mean, we've had coronavirus, of course. We've had civil unrest in the streets. We've had murder hornets. We've had forest fires. We just had a hurricane come up the East Coast as of yesterday, that being Monday. I'm recording this on Tuesday. 2020 has been crazy, y'all. Where else can we find peace in this world? We can't find it anywhere right now other than Christ. That's the only place that we're going to find peace in our lives. Jesus said it right there. In this world, you will have tribulation. 2020 they could just call it the year of tribulation, you know. There's been so many things that we have dealt with this year, and it has caused a ton of stress on people. I mean, right when the coronavirus pandemic started coming over to the United States, people freaked out. Y'all remember going to the store and people fighting over toilet paper? Y'all remember there being no kind of paper products at all? All the canned goods were getting gone. I remember stashing our pantry full of canned goods just in case they shut everything down, just because we didn't know. And I'll admit, I was worried about it. Now, do I worry about it now out of a sense of fear? No, I don't. I take it as a concern, and I make smarter choices to take care of myself and my family during this craziness in this year, along with the coronavirus pandemic. But I have a peace about it now. I have a peace that, you know, this isn't the end, right? I have a peace that even if this coronavirus pandemic lasts, you know, for another year, it sounds terrible to think about. It sounds really discouraging to think about, but I don't find my hope in this world. I don't find my hope in the people that are running for political offices. I don't find my hope in athletes that like to stand up for things. I find my hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is who gives me peace. Jesus Christ is the only one that can place peace over this earth, okay? In this world, just like it says in John, there's going to be tribulation in this world. We've seen it in this world already this year. I mean, we're going to see it more and more as we get closer to Christ coming back. Now, I'm not saying that I'm predicting when Christ comes back, because nobody knows the day or which hour that the Lord will come back. But flip on down to Philippians as well. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." That means don't worry. Don't worry about anything. That's probably the number one thing that everybody can have in common is worrying. People worry too much. I worry too much. I won't lie about that. I worry a lot. But it says in Philippians, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If we're worried about something, that means that we hadn't put it in God's hands yet. We've all had these times of these seasons in our life where something's just on our mind and we're worried about the outcome. We're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're worried because we don't know what's going to happen, right? If we're worrying, we're thinking about it to ourselves too much. Give it up to God. I'm saying this to myself too. I'm saying this to myself. I'm saying this to y'all. I'm saying this to my Muggsy Bogues bobblehead that I'm having to talk to just so I have a face to talk to since Cody's not here today. Find peace in Christ. Jesus Christ died on that cross, rose again, saved you from what you deserve because of your sin, saved you from being eternally separated from God, and bridged that gap that we may have a relationship not only with Christ, but with God Almighty, the creator of all things. The one that was there in the beginning, that will be there in the end, the one that always is. Jesus Christ came down on this earth to save us. I was listening to a portion of a Billy Graham sermon today on the Billy Graham's SiriusXM channel while I was mowing. And he said that one time him and one of his sons were walking down the driveway at their house, and his son had accidentally stepped on an anthill. And his son had said, "Dad, wouldn't it be nice, or wouldn't it be good if we were able to help those ants, if we were able to help the ones that were hurt, if we were able to rebuild their house, you know, the anthill?" And Billy said to his son, "You know, yeah, that would be nice, son, but we're too big and they're too small." Think about that as a correlation with how God sees us. God looked down on earth, the earth that he created, saw this sin that came into the world, right? You know, started with Adam and Eve. Saw this sin, saw this war, saw this sickness, saw all this bondage, and said, "I need to go down there and save these people. I need to go down there and give these people an opportunity to be saved from this craziness of this world." And he came down in the form of a human, that human being, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. He became the ultimate sacrifice. He became guilty of every single sin known to man. He became guilty and suffered on that cross so we wouldn't have to. He died that death so we wouldn't have to, so we can be spiritually alive again. And just like Billy Graham said in that sermon that I heard today too, we don't worship a dead Christ. We worship a Christ, the Christ that rose again, that said, He has overcome it all. He has defeated death. He came to save us, not to judge us. He came to save us, y'all, and to have a relationship with us and give us an opportunity that I hope you have already taken. If not, I hope you pray about, and I hope you take it before it's too late, an opportunity to be with Him for eternity in heaven. Wipe clean from our sin. All we have to do, y'all, is accept and believe that what He did for you, He did for me, He did for Cody, He did for everybody. He did it for us. Believe that. Trust in Him. Let Him into your life. Let Him into your heart. He will give you peace. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with some sports. All right, we're back, and guess what, y'all? It's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the Weekly Score. Let's start out with some NASCAR news. Had a race this past weekend in New Hampshire. Brad Keselowski, he won. He won the race. I believe this is his third win this season. And him and Denny Hamlin dominated this race the majority of the time that they had on the track. Like I said, Keselowski ended up winning. That's great for him. He needs a reason to prove that he can still belong in that Penske race car. There's some rumors that he may go over to Hendrick Motorsports once the season's over with and jump in that 48 car. Because, you know, if you follow NASCAR, if you follow NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson says, he claims right now at least, that this is his final season. Even in the midst of a shortened season, a delayed season with the coronavirus pandemic, he hadn't given any more news that he would be coming back next year at all. Which leads me to my next thing. Should he come back next year? You know, Jimmy Johnson has had a rough season this year. He's had a rough past couple of seasons, honestly, and hasn't really been the same driver ever since him and his crew chief, Chad Knaus, parted ways. And since he's really been with Ally, his partnership with Ally instead of Lowe's, it's been different for sure since Jimmy Johnson has really changed paint schemes, so to speak. Should this be his last year? You know, it's hard to remember sometimes, but Jimmy Johnson is a 7-time NASCAR Cup champion, y'all. That's phenomenal. He's one of the all-time greats. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. But if you look at his career the past 2 years, you wouldn't think that at all, especially, you know, if you didn't follow racing that close. I don't know what he's going to do, y'all. I saw where Blake Shelton tweeted that he thinks that Jimmy should come back for another year. But my opinion, if Jimmy doesn't finish this year out strong, whether he makes the playoffs or not, I would probably count my losses. That's just my opinion. The more he struggles, the harder it is to watch. I'm not a Jimmy Johnson fan per se. I cheer for the Blue Ovals, also known as the Ford cars out there. But I do hope he does well in his races, and he's struggling. But hats off to Keselowski, third win of the year. You, Denny, and Harvick. That's the race right there, y'all, for the Cup Championship this year. But that's all I got for NASCAR this week. They got a doubleheader at Michigan this weekend. I think there's a Truck Series race on Friday, and then a Cup Series race on Saturday, and a Cup race on Sunday. So we're getting close to the end. I think they got two more races there, and then two at Dover, and then they're back on normal schedule, and the playoffs will be here before we know it. But let's get on to our next story. But for that, I need a little intro music. That's right, y'all. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? I can smell. You know what I smell? I smell the XFL. That's right, y'all. Dwayne The Rock Johnson along with an investor group, they have bought the XFL. If y'all remember, the XFL came back just earlier this year and had a pretty decent showing, right? I chose to cheer for the Houston Roughnecks. They played great. Me and a bunch of buddies, we all decided to cheer for the Roughnecks. My wife, Amber, she wanted to be a little different and cheer for the Battle Hawks of St. Louis. They did great, too. It makes for some pretty interesting TV. And then COVID happened. And then they laid off everybody in the XFL. And then the XFL declared bankruptcy. And nobody knew if the XFL was ever going to come back again. Remember, the XFL, this wasn't the first time they came around. They came back, I believe it was either 2000 or 2001, and they fell after one season. And then after they fell this time, they were like, you know, there's no way the XFL is coming back. But guess what? The XFL is back again. On Twitter, The Rock tweeted that, let me get to it just a second. He said, with my trailblazing partner, Danny Garcia, and Redbird Capital, we have acquired the XFL. With gratitude and passion, I've built a career with my own two hands and will apply these calluses to our XFL brand. Excited to create something special for the fans. Hashtag XFL. And along with that, he put a picture that says XFL, Dwayne Johnson, owner. How awesome is that, y'all? So we're going to get the XFL back again. Let's see if it works this time. Third time's a charm for the XFL, right? Plus $15 million for a football league? That's a steal. That's an absolute steal. Now, will they have the same teams? We're not sure about that just yet. I hope the Roughnecks come back. I would love to cheer for the Roughnecks again, even though they won't have the same players because some of them went to the NFL, some of them just decided to hang it up. But unless the team in North or South Carolina gets, unless they get a team, I'm going to keep cheering for the XFL, Houston Roughnecks. So that was exciting to see. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment, The Rock. He is the owner of the XFL. That's phenomenal, y'all. All right, I got a little NFL news. Just real quick, I'm going to go over the NFL top 100. I'm not going to go over all 100 players, but the top 10. The top 10 caused a lot of debate, y'all. A lot of debate. I'll just start number 10. Number 10, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, you know, running back for the Titans. He had a phenomenal year last year. Him and Ryan Tannehill led the Tennessee Titans. Yes, I said it. The Tennessee Titans to the AFC Championship game. They were one game away. One win away from the Super Bowl last year. So, yeah, I would definitely put Derrick Henry in the top 10. Number 9, Stephon Gilmore, cornerback for the New England Patriots. Yeah, he's gotten all the praise that he's deserved this offseason. He got 99 overall in Madden, and now he's top 10 on the NFL 100. Number 8, DeAndre Hopkins. Great year with the Houston Texans. Still have no idea why they traded him to the Arizona Cardinals, but maybe him and Kyler Murray can make some magic like him and Deshaun Watson did in Houston. Number 7, George Kittle, tight end for the San Francisco 49ers. Without a doubt, the best tight end in football last year. And he don't even catch that many passes. If y'all follow football closely, you know that the 49ers, they run the ball, and guess what? Then they run the ball. He doesn't get that many looks, but when he does, man, does he show off. He had a great play last year against the Saints in the playoffs, where I believe he took three or four guys off of him. I mean, he just would not go down. So, and I believe he's the highest ranked tight end ever since they've done this top 100 list too. So, yeah, hats off to Kittle for that. Number 6, my boy, CMC, Christian McCaffrey, running back, number 22 for the Carolina Panthers, number 6 player in the NFL. I totally agree. I would probably put him at number 5, but number 6, that'll do. He is the guy now. Cam's gone, Luke's gone, Greg's gone. Thomas Davis, he left a couple years ago. It's CMC's team. He is the guy in Carolina now, and he has nowhere to go but up. I hope they can build something magical around him with Teddy Bridgewater, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and get that defense back to the legendary Carolina defense that they used to have back in the early 2000s and so on. Number 5, Michael Thomas had a great year. It really helps to have Drew Brees as your quarterback. That's where I would put him below McCaffrey, but I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Number four is going to shock you. Patrick Mahomes is ranked number four on the NFL top 100 players of 2020. Pat Mahomes, leader of the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl MVP, now partial owner of the Kansas City Royals, the guy that just made bank a couple months ago, number four. He is not number one. A lot of people wondered why he wasn't number one. I don't know why he wasn't number one. But let's keep on with the list. Number three, Aaron Donald. No question about that. No argument there. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL. He is always up for MVP votes along with Khalil Mack on defense. No doubt does Aaron Donald deserve to be in the top three of the NFL. Number two, Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson had a good year last year. Would I have put him at number two? I don't think so, but I'll be honest with you. I didn't follow the Seahawks that closely last year because they didn't have a great year. They had a very abnormal year for the Seahawks. I would have put Pat Mahomes at number two at the worst, right? I would put him at number two, and I would put Russell Wilson number four. Number one, NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had a coming out party, to say the least, last year. I hope he keeps excelling at that. I remember watching him play at Louisville. I remember watching the Louisville game when they played Syracuse, and he just absolutely embarrassed all 11 guys on that Syracuse defense. So that's the only thing that really baffled me was Pat Mahomes being at number four and Russell Wilson being at number two. I would definitely have swapped those for sure. We get on to some baseball as we're continuing on in the weekly score segment. The Braves are playing great. Don't get me wrong. Statistically, they're first place in the NL East. Now, right now, they have the Marlins at number one because their winning percentage is higher, but they've only played three games. For y'all that have followed the podcast in the past weeks, the Marlins haven't played in a while because they've had 17 people test positive for COVID. But other than that, the Braves are first place in the East right now, but they just lost their ace. Last night, Soroka, their pitcher, tore his Achilles, and I was watching it happen when it happened live. He went to try to go cover first, and when he put his foot down to plant, that was it. You could see his calf kind of twitch, and when I saw that, I knew it wasn't good. So, Mike Soroka, we're praying for you, man. I think today's your birthday as well, Tuesday, so happy birthday. I'm sure there's a slim chance you're listening, but if you are, happy birthday, and we're praying for a speedy recovery, man. But the Braves, they're doing great when they're not facing Jacob deGrom on the Mets. They're 7-4. Dansby Swanson is the hottest hitter in baseball right now. He is probably the best shortstop in baseball right now as this young season continues on. But let's get on to some news about the Red Sox. Cody, I'm not taking a dig at your Red Sox, but the only news I have for them is they're playing the Rays tonight. The Red Sox are 3-7. Just like Cody has talked about before, their pitching has not been the best. And right now, I believe, if I'm looking at it right, yeah, they are in last place in the AL East. You got nowhere to go but up. You can't go down any lower, Cody, and Red Sox fans. But that's really, and to quote my good friend Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. One last baseball thing before we move on to one more sport. Yoenis Cespedes. That might ring a bell to some baseball fans. If you don't follow baseball, you may not have any clue what I'm talking about. Yoenis Cespedes plays for the New York Mets. The Braves were playing the Mets this past weekend. And on Sunday, he decided not to show up to Truist Park. That's where the Braves play. That's the Braves' home field. He just didn't show up. He didn't tell anybody where he was. He wasn't answering phone calls. The New York Mets put out a statement saying that they have failed to get hold of him, to get in contact with him, which caused a lot of panic. You know, this as crazy as 2020 has been, what else can happen, right? He completely just packed up his bags and left. Then it came out about 10 minutes after that he decided to opt out of playing this year, which I thought was just a crazy way to say, hey, I'm not playing this year, and to just abruptly say, I'm out. After the Mets have started out terribly, like they usually do, to be honest. But they've had such high expectations this year, especially with DeGrom and Pete Alonso and some other weapons that they have on that team. It's like he just decided, hey, you know, we're not doing so hot, I'm out. And in my opinion, if the Mets get hot, if they somehow make the playoffs, if they clinch the division or get in by a wild card, I don't think it'd be fair for Cespedes to say, hey, I'm back in. Now, we just had a Braves player opt out before the season, Nick Markakis, and then a couple days ago he said, well, I'm deciding to opt back in. My opinion, he shouldn't be let back in. It should be a play or don't play decision. Unless you have a medical emergency to get to back home, like Mike Trout did with welcoming his newborn baby into this world. Unless you have something like that where you have to go home. If you're just opting out because you don't feel safe to play, then stay at the house this season. Don't wait for your team to get hot or your team to start playing good to say, hey, I want back in. I want part of this. Don't quit when your team's down, right? What it seems like Cespedes has done. Now, if he honestly has quit, or honestly has opted out, I shouldn't say quit. If he has honestly opted out because of his concerns over the coronavirus, that's fine. That's his decision. He's entitled to make that decision if he's made that for his personal or his family's safety. Now, if he's opted out just because he plays for the Mets and they hadn't done so great, that's wrong. And to just leave without telling anybody, it doesn't look good. Now, we don't know what's going on in that dugout. We don't know what's going on in that clubhouse. We don't know what he said to a player or what he said to somebody in the front office. From what we know, he just bounced. He gone. He left. He's out of here. That's all we know. And then he claimed, well, it's because I don't want to play because of coronavirus. Well, Yoenis, if your team makes playoffs and you jump back in, that's not going to be a good look, man. If your team gets hot, they don't even have to make the playoffs. If they go on like a 5 or 6 game winning streak and you want to get back into the rotation, that's not a good look, man. So I think that there should have been a rule that if you opt out for the season, you're out until the next season, period. Take your time off. Enjoy it with your family. Stay safe if that's why you're opting out, for your safety. And come back to spring training next year. Don't jump back in if it gets hot again. And as I'm finishing up baseball, I just got to say, you know, they've had a lot of stuff going on with this coronavirus. They had the Marlins test positive, a lot of them, and a lot of Cardinals players test positive. And then the commissioner of baseball, Manfred, he says, well, you know, if they don't start doing better, we're just going to shut the league down. You're the commissioner. Make rules. Make more serious, you know, circumstances. Make more serious consequences if they break rules. If they're putting their team at risk. You're the commissioner. Do something, right? You're in charge. Won't you say something? That's just what I'm thinking. You know, maybe you should have did a bubble if you were that concerned about it. Maybe you should have put the team in a bubble, excuse me, or the teams in a bubble like the NBA has done. Which leads me to the NBA. The NBA's return has been great. You know, they're putting on a good show. They've done a good job of putting up the LED boards. It looks really, really weird with those fans that are sitting in like the blue screen chairs where they kind of zoom in or do something on their phone or laptop. That looks a little odd. I think it was a cool thing for like the first night or two, but I hope they don't do that all season. They've done a really good job. The players are playing great. The Lakers looks like they've already clinched number one seed. I'm not sure what the Pelicans are doing. A lot of people thought that they kind of set it up for the Pelicans to get into the playoffs just so we could see Zion in the playoffs. But now the Pelicans, they barely played Zion the first two games, so nobody really knows what's going on with that either. But the Lakers, they dominated the Clippers that first night back. If that's signs of what's to come, they're going to be NBA champions soon, sooner than we think. But basketball has done great. The NHL has come back. I didn't mean to not mention the NHL. I watched the Hurricanes play the other day. They look great. It looked cool the way they have the ice and the rink set up in Toronto. I believe that's where they're playing. I would say the NHL, NBA, they've done the best so far. And the NFL, guess what? They just get to sit back and test which looks the best. Which one looks the best? What option looks the best for their season? Should they do a bubble? Should they, do it at the home team's stadium and not let any fans in, or let, some fans in. That they still have time to decide. They don't have as much time as they did at one point, but they have plenty of time to sit back and study what the NBA is doing, and study what Major League Baseball is doing, and study what the NHL is doing. If you had to rank those three leagues on who's doing the best right now, I would say NBA, NHL, definitely Major League Baseball in third. It took them forever to decide on if they were going to play or not, and now Rob Manfred is, acting like somebody else should be making the calls right now. I don't know. It's way easier said than done. I'm sitting here recording this on a voice memo app for a podcast. That's all I'm doing is sitting here running my mouth. He's got decisions to make, and I hope he makes good decisions from here on out as well. Let's close today's show out, this week's show out, with a discussion question. I put on my Facebook last night, I put on my personal Twitter, put on Reverend Babble's Twitter, what is the most underrated sports movie of all time? I love sports movies. I'm sure y'all love sports movies. I love sports TV shows. Amber and I are watching Friday Night Lights right now. I watched it, a little bit when I was younger, and I'm really into it now. Phenomenal television show, right? Great show about football, about the drama behind high school football, especially in Texas. Good stuff. But what is the most underrated sports movie of all time? My wife Amber said The Rookie. That's the one with Dennis Quaid as he's a high school baseball coach in Texas and gets back to the big leagues. Great movie. Great movie. I said Little Big League. That's also a baseball movie where a kid inherits the ownership of the Minnesota Twins from his grandfather, then names himself manager. That's an awesome movie as well. But I took it to the social medias and I asked people. I got Like Mike. Great movie. People don't give it the credit it deserves. It's hilarious. The only thing that was weird about it was that he was playing on a fake NBA team against real NBA teams. I didn't understand the premise behind that, but whatever. Little Giants. Little Giants is hilarious. That's the one with the Pee Wee football where they're the Little Giants versus the Little Cowboys, and the characters on that movie, awesome. I would definitely agree that Little Giants is an underrated sports movie. Space Jam is not underrated. Space Jam is a classic, especially if you love Michael Jordan, if you love basketball, you love Looney Tunes. If you're a kid of the 90s, you've watched Space Jam at least five times. I've watched it way more than five times. Any Given Sunday, that's one I have not seen in its entirety. Have not seen that, but I've seen parts of it. I've seen it on TV here and there, and I'll watch it, and it's very interesting to me. I need to sit down and watch that movie in its entirety. That's the one where I think where Al Pacino is the football coach, Jamie Foxx is the quarterback, and that one's definitely interesting. Bend It Like Beckham. I've never seen that one. I've never been much into soccer. I mean, I played when I was a kid, but I believe everybody played soccer when they were kids, just about. I need to watch that one. Somebody else agreed. Yeah, Little Giants is for sure underrated. Glory Road. Yeah, that's an underrated movie. The Greatest Game Ever Played. That one is not mentioned enough. I agree, Trevor. That one is not mentioned enough. Facing the Giants. That's a great faith and sports movie right there. I love Facing the Giants. A League of Their Own. Absolutely hilarious movie. The Sandlot. If anybody says they don't like The Sandlot, we need to have a talking to. Absolutely. On Twitter, somebody said the movie Miracle. David Harris said he don't think it's underrated. I think it's underrated. You don't hear a lot of people talk about Miracle. I'll be honest, I never watched it. I know what it's about. I know it's about the U.S. hockey team beating Russia. Because that was a miracle back then. That's when Russia was the USSR, when the Soviet Union was still intact. So, Boone, I agree. That's an underrated movie for sure that I definitely need to sit down and watch. Draft Day was mentioned. I've never seen Draft Day. I think, frankly, because it was about or based off the Cleveland Browns and their drafting. And, if it's a good draft for the Browns, it's got to be a movie because that ain't real, right? One that really stuck out to me, my boy Scott Kendall, he said 10 Cup. I had to Google what this movie was. I've never heard of this movie in my life. I looked up, it's a golf movie about Kevin Costner being a golf pro. Scott, I got to watch this movie. It looks really interesting. I mean, Kevin Costner was in Field of Dreams, and I think Field of Dreams is an underrated movie. It's a very long movie, can be a little boring in some parts. But Kevin Costner and sports, that's got to be a good movie. So I'm going to take your word for it. I've known Scott for my whole life just about, and me and him have very similar taste when it comes to sports and movies, so I'm definitely going to have to take his word for it and go watch Tin Cup. But thank y'all for the feedback on those questions. I hope y'all have enjoyed listening to this episode of Reverent Babble. I hope I hadn't rambled on too much or didn't bore y'all with just me talking and not really having anybody to converse with. But I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go meet my wife and kid, good old Amber, and my Bubba Graham for dinner. Y'all have a great week. Social media, all the contact info is in the show notes below, and you heard it on the breaks too. Y'all have an awesome week, and me and Cody will be back next time. Bye.